I'd like to share a few examples of situations that have occurred when working with community-based conservation programs and how the principle of transparency has been so important for building trust, for helping to build a program that creates equal partnerships with the community members, and helps to increase program efficiency. I'd like to focus on one of our longest-running community-based conservation programs called Snow Leopard Enterprises. This is a program that offers income generation opportunities for herders who share the mountains with snow leopards. The program has been running for decades, and many communities have been participating for that length of time. This has allowed the communities and our conservation teams to build robust relationships and trust with many of the individuals within the communities over time. Transparency has really played an important role in building these programs and partnerships. From the beginning, the program was actually developed based on conversations with herders who requested that we kind of help them develop a program that would help increase the value of their wool. Together with the herders' ideas, the program was developed. We've continued to work to build a transparent relationship with these community members where open discussions can take place about everything from clarifying the goals of the conservation organization and the aims of the program to smaller but very important programmatic decisions. Although many examples come to mind, I would like to share two situations that our programs deal with and how transparency has helped build a partnership between the conservation organization and the members. One idea highlights what is involved in establishing prices for the handicrafts that the communities make and the conservation organization purchases, and how creating a more transparent process for that helped the program in multiple ways. The other situation involves how using a transparent system to create clear product quality criteria has made sure that everyone understands the criteria and the expectations for product purchases and how the system has improved the process and the relationship with the program participants. In Mongolia and Kyrgyzstan, women from both nomadic and semi-nomadic communities engage throughout the year in developing wool products. Many work on sewing the products either alone in their yurts all winter, or in some cases, they gather together with a few other women in a workshop. Twice a year, a conservation organization travels into nearby mountain towns and purchases the products, paying an agreed upon price for each product that meets the quality expectations. I was involved in a visit to one of our villages where we work in Kyrgyzstan, and we came together with women in a little building where they had a workshop. They had sheets of their felted wool stacked up against the back wall, and they carried bags of product in various states of completion. As we sat down to look over all the products, a few women started a conversation saying that they had some things they'd like to discuss. And they pulled out some paperwork and two particular products, baby booties and the glasses cases here. One woman began by saying that when we calculated the prices of the baby booties, we estimated that it would take a long time to make. However, she said that they had estimated too high, and based on the new calculation, that we could decrease the price that we were paying for the baby booties. They handed us their calculation showing the cost of the raw materials and the cost of the purchased thread and the value of their time per hour corrected from the previous estimate. They then took out the glasses cases and said that this product had been designed with a border of tightly embroidered stitches, fully covering the outer edge of the product, as you can see here. Another woman spoke up from the group saying that when they calculated the price for these glasses cases, they'd estimated it to take a very short amount of time because the cutting and sewing together was simple, but they hadn't realized that the border stitching would take so much time. They told us that if we decided to keep the same border stitching, it would require a higher price for the glasses cases. They gave suggestions for a different kind of stitching that would be cheaper, and they handed us our calculations and the new time estimate. The calculations were made in a table that we had provided in a workshop training. We'd provided this training to the women so that they could calculate fair prices to make sure that they understood the value of their time, took into consideration the changing prices of raw wool in the markets and the cost of additional materials like thread, buttons, and other store-bought materials when deciding on prices. We wanted the women to know how to develop these prices on their own, how they were calculated, so that they could be fully capable of setting their own prices for products that they were making and selling in other places, and to make sure that they could make suggestions and negotiate with us on prices based on the facts, and to double check the calculations and modify prices when necessary. It was really great for me to see that they were empowered with the tools to calculate the fair prices, but it was also really powerful to see that they had the confidence to speak up and discuss their ideas for change and improvement. Before the training, women had often asked if the prices could be increased, and some complained about the prices. But now, using these tools and feeling confident that their suggestions are welcome and respected, they were able to understand the work and work together to set those very prices. Helping create a transparent process with these women increased their trust and confidence in the program and with each other. On that same trip, we then visited women involved in the Snow Leopard Enterprise program in Mongolia. We visited each village, and the women would come from their homes in the mountains, carrying their bags of finished product that they had worked on all winter in their own yurts. Now the SLE conservation manager was there to assess each of the products, evaluating the quality, determine if it met criteria in order to be purchased. Each woman brought her product forward, and the SLE manager would hold them up and carefully assess each mouse, rug, scarf. Part of the process involved looking through a booklet that the SLE manager had created called a product instruction book. The book included detailed instructions about how to make each individual product from start to finish, like a recipe book for the products. It included a photo of what the final product should look like when it was completed, and it had tips and information on things to avoid when creating the product. Every participant is provided with their own instruction book for their home. During the purchase process, both the SLE manager and the participant can refer to that booklet each time the manager rejects a product. The manager could point to an area that was not so great on the product and show in the book the criteria that was expected and explain where the product needed improvement. The work of our SLE manager to develop this booklet and create clear criteria assured that the purchase process was not subjective, but instead was transparent and very clear. Often notes were written into the book by the women as they talked with the manager, and the manager would take their suggestions for things that could make the instruction book clearer. This tool helped communication about the quality assessment and the purchase professional so that the rejection of a product didn't feel personal. This level of transparency benefited both the manager and the communities by helping improve the program efficiency. It allowed us to build more trust and avoid factions or favoritism. These transparent interactions and tools set up the program for success, and it also set up the individuals for success and for this long-term partnership.